So I'm friends with many pastors on social media and receive many church leadership resources. And because of that, I often get to hear how churches are ministering to both to their church members and to the community during this time. And one very interesting survey that I heard on a podcast this week explained that a survey that was given last year about this time, asking what is the number one need of the congregation in which you serve, 97% of the pastors said this: the number one need is spiritual health. That same survey was just given recently again, and the numbers were very different. This time, only 47% of the pastors that responded said that the number one need in their church was spiritual health. So that's a 50% decline. And the greatest growth in regards to what other areas the pastors said was the second largest need that they saw in their church was emotional health rather than spiritual health. And that makes such sense because, I mean, we're in this time of isolation. We're in this time of where people are losing their jobs. People have loved ones who are dying and who are sick or uncertain about the future. But the truth is that what we're dealing with right now is simply the fact that, hey, we have got to understand that, especially as Christians, we cannot separate emotional health from physical, from our spiritual health. Because how we believe spiritually is going to greatly affect how we feel emotionally. You can't separate, especially for those who are following Jesus, we can't separate our emotions and feelings from what we truly believe. And so here's a very important thing that we have to truly understand is that as the Lord worked in my heart this week, I was planning to preach a message talking about following Jesus. And yet I was prepared. And on Friday afternoon, the Lord said, take out that Bible. So I opened up my Bible and I began to flip through page after page through all four of the Gospels, just one page right after another. And I want to share with you what the Lord did during that time as I looked specifically to see how did Jesus minister to people who were hurting, who were grieving, who were struggling, who were uncertain of the future. Because I don't want to just minister to people. I want to minister to people the way that Jesus, if he was here, would minister to people as well. So how did he? And I want to share with you just three thoughts that I came up with. And after I share these three with you, we're going to go back and we're going to sing and we're going to worship. And then I'm going to come back and take you to Luke chapter 8 to talk about one specific issue. I want to highlight that. But here are three thoughts that I saw that I believe are very, very important for us to understand at this time. The first is this, that in every situation that Jesus talked to these people, he never gave an explanation for the position in which they found themselves. Jesus never went around and said, now let me tell you why. And you know what's amazing about that is what is the first question we ask when we go through something difficult? We raise our hands and we say, God, why? Why would you do this? And we want an answer. Of all the people that Jesus loved, of all the people that Jesus ministered to, of all the people that Jesus cared for their needs, not one time did he ever give an explanation. Now there was twice in the book of John where we see in John chapter 9 where Jesus meets a blind man, and we get just a glimpse where Jesus says he was born this way so the works of God can be displayed in his life. And in John 11, when he hears about Lazarus, we do hear that the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. So we get these two glimpses, but Jesus never gives an explanation. So here's what's important for me as a pastor to understand, to tell you as people who are hurting during this time, an explanation is not the answer. Jesus never gives an explanation. What he does say is, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. Faith in what? Faith in who Jesus is and in what Jesus says he will do. The second very interesting observation that I had is that Jesus also said this. Jesus never gives an apology for the situation in which people find themselves. From hunger to hurt, Jesus never walks up to someone and says, hey, let me tell you something, I'm so sorry. Now, what we as a society, I mean, when people aren't courteous, when people aren't willing to say, I'm sorry, you know, we look at them as being very selfish and prideful and arrogant. But as we follow through the entire four Gospels, and again, I didn't do an exhaustive search, so forgive me. You may be able to show me where I missed. But Jesus never issues an apology to go along with the healing that he offers. When we come back and look at Luke chapter number 8, we're going to look at the woman who reached out for the hem of Jesus' garment. No apology. No explanation for the 12 years in which she suffered. And Jesus would meet person after person after person, and he would never stop to say, I'm sorry because of this. Jesus always had a purpose. A purpose for our pain and a purpose for our healing. And we were going to talk about what that purpose is as we come back a little bit later. And the third and the final one that I want to show you today is that Jesus doesn't stop to help every person of every disease. I believe it's John 5 when Jesus walks past the man who's at the pool of Bethesda. He stops to heal one man. But John 5 says there's a multitude of people, sick, lame, diseased, and Jesus stops to heal one man. Again, when we come back and look at Luke chapter number 8 of this woman who reaches out, Jesus was not stopping to help that woman, although she had a disease. He was walking past. She's the one that reached out. Why? And again, I don't have this exhaustive answer, but I do know that of the times that I looked throughout the Gospels, Jesus always had a purpose for his healings. Of course, everyone pointed to him as the Messiah, as truly being the Son of God. But some of his healings happened specifically on the Sabbath day because he wanted to tell the Pharisees, righteousness does not come in a day like the Sabbath. Righteousness comes in a person, and that's me. There were times when Jesus was moved with compassion, and that moving of compassion caused him to move into action. But as I looked through those times where Jesus was moved with compassion, I don't see just the temporal emotion that you and I feel. I believe that compassion was far deeper than what we could understand. Jesus was not looking at their temporary situation. He was looking at their eternal needs. And he was moved knowing that it is my work in their life that as they witness this and as they tell this, that they will find what they really need, the healing not of a disease, but the healing of sin. And Jesus also works not just because he wants to show himself mighty as the one who is righteousness rather than a day. And Jesus doesn't just simply work because of what we want, but Jesus also works specifically, and the majority of time he works out of faith and belief. Matthew chapter 8 is where we find the very first time one of the there is an individual healing that Jesus has, and he shares a conversation with a man in Matthew chapter number 8. And what he that's a leper that comes to him and says, if you will, Jesus, I believe, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. And time after time after time, from the centurion where Jesus says, your faith, I've seen no greater faith, to where the demon-possessed man, I believe in Mark chapter 5, I'm sorry, the man whose son was demon-possessed in Mark 5 comes and says, Jesus, heal him. And Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible. And he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. When Jesus walks on the water to his disciples, as they're fearful in the storm, Jesus doesn't say, and by the way, when I still the winds and the waves, then you can be at peace. He says, be at peace because I am here. Believe in me. And when it stops, he turns to them and says, why? Do you have such little faith in me? Don't you know I will take care of you? My own will always be provided and protected for. I sometimes feel like right now, that's what Jesus wants us to understand. Pandemic? Yes. Disease? Yes. Uncertainty? Yes. Loss of income? Yes. Isolation? Yes. But I'm here. So believe in me. And time and time and time again, the working of Jesus is not a work to take someone out of the struggles, but to remind them in their struggles, I'm here. And so believe in me. And that's what I hope to come back and as we finish in Luke chapter 8, to understand this, that every time Jesus heals or Jesus works in someone's emotional or physical needs, he always addresses their spiritual need of faith. Believe in me. Have faith in me. And that's what I want to come back after we sing these songs, to just look in at one particular portion of Scripture that says, hey, we can believe in who Jesus says he is and in what Jesus says he will do. And when we do, it doesn't matter what circumstances we're facing, we will find the peace we're searching for. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 8. And if I can just remind you of the three things that we shared earlier, that going throughout all of the Gospels, we never find Jesus giving an explanation for the condition people find themselves in. We never find Jesus giving an apology for the condition people find themselves in. And we don't find Jesus stopping to help every person who is sick. There's always a purpose. In Luke chapter 8, the closing portion of Luke chapter 8 actually includes two healings that whose stories are intermingled. And I would love to spend hours and hours here, but I know you're not going to stay there for hours, and I know I'm not going to stay here for hours, and I know the guys running the camera and the AV are not going to stay for hours. So we're just going to read through the scriptures together, stop a few times while we're reading, and then just give some applications on this truth to our lives and how we could find peace in Jesus. Let's begin in Luke chapter number 8 and in verse number 41. The Bible says this, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. So picture the scene. In other Gospels, this is also recorded. Jesus is teaching a group of people. And a ruler of the synagogue, which is very important because Jewish leaders hated Jesus. Their Jewish religious leaders hated Jesus. But this man finds himself in a position where he has nowhere else to turn. And so he falls at the feet of Jesus and said, my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter, my only daughter is dying. Please come heal her. Now again, that's such an act of humility on this man's part, because so many of his colleagues would have looked down on him for falling before Jesus' feet, but he knows he has no hope. My daughter's dying. You can heal her. And Jesus responds to his act of faith. And they begin walking to Jairus' house, but through a crowd of people. Through a crowd of people, no doubt that many of them in that crowd needed healing. But Jesus isn't responding to the need of healing. He's responding to this man's faith as he walks through the crowd. Let's keep reading. Verse number 43. Let me finish verse 42. Said, but as he went, the multitude thronged him. Verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I'm sure this is something many of you have heard before, but Jesus is walking down a crowded street and suddenly stops and says, who touched me? And Peter thinks Jesus is crazy. Like, there's people everywhere around you. Of course somebody's going to touch you. And Jesus says, no, I don't mean who bumped into me. Who believed in me and reached out in faith to touch me, expecting to receive something in return? And that's exactly what this woman had done. She had reached out to Jesus expecting to receive healing. And it's what she got. But you know what she didn't get? Jesus didn't stop and tell her why she had been sick for the past 12 years. Jesus didn't apologize for the fact that she had spent all of her money trying to be healed. In fact, have you ever realized Jesus wasn't actually stopping to heal her? It was her reaching out to Jesus that caused him to stop. No doubt there were many people that were thronging or were around Jesus, as the scriptures tell us. They were thronging him. There's crowds. But he stopped when this woman touched him. Now, why does Jesus stop? Because Jesus always responds to faith. Jesus doesn't always give me what I want. He doesn't always answer every request that I ask. But he always responds to my faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very familiar passage to many of you. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. But what kind of faith do we need? Keep reading. It says, for he who comes to God, so he's coming to God in faith, what faith do we need? Faith that he is, meaning that God exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Meaning, if I get to him, I will receive from him. That's what this woman was believing. And because she believed, she not only received the healing that she wanted, but she received a relationship that she needed. I mean, you got to think, Jesus stops. This woman's been healed already. Why stop? Just keep going. You've got a mission. You're responding to that man's faith to heal his daughter. Why stop and talk to this woman who is unclean? Because Jesus is never interested in simply meeting our physical relationships. He is always interested in going deeper and giving us a spiritual relationship that we need, that we sometimes don't ask for. Jesus is always interested in building our faith because faith is always built on relationships. Your faith always comes down to a relationship. If you were in need right now, who's the first person that you would talk to? Who's the first person you would call? Who's the first person that you would reach out with? Not someone that you have no relationship with. Someone who you have trust in. Someone who you believe in. And many of you, when I asked who's the first person you would talk to, your response immediately was, I'd go to prayer. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Yes, we have friends. But Jesus stops because he's more interested in just healing this woman. Because notice what he does. He takes her into a relationship and gives her a promise. When she first touches him, he stops and says, somebody touched me. But after he stops and speaks to her, what does he say? Daughter, go in peace. A relationship and a promise. And the promise to go in peace because now she has him. Look at verse number 50, though. Remember, Jesus was on his way to heal a man's daughter, but he stopped. Look what happens in verse 50. When Jesus heard it, he answered him. I'm sorry, look at verse 49. Excuse me, I'm skipping ahead of myself. Look at verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Put yourself in this man's place for just a moment. You've convinced Jesus to come to your house to heal your daughter, knowing it's your only hope. But Jesus, on the way to healing your daughter, stops to help an unclean woman. A woman who was not facing a life-threatening disease, a life-crippling disease, yes, but not life-threatening like your daughter. But because he stops to help her, now your daughter dies. Would you not immediately begin to question what God is doing and why God works the way that he does? Had you not stopped to help her, my daughter might have been healed. Don't we ask God that question often? How come you help there? How come you heal there and you're not doing it in my case? How come they have a job and I don't? How come their family's not suffering and we are? God, what are you thinking? We immediately begin to question God's sovereignty, but notice what Jesus does not give this man. Upon hearing the news that his daughter has died, he doesn't give an explanation and he doesn't give an apology. He says one word, believe. Don't be afraid. Believe in me. Look at verse number 50. When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well. And we have to understand what these verses are. Jesus is not commanding this man, like, you cannot have any fear in your life or I will not help your daughter. It was not a command to get rid of all your fear. It was a reason not to fear. You don't have to. I know you heard bad news. You don't have to fear. I'm here. Believe in me. I just fully believe that's exactly what God, he wants us to do as his followers, is in the midst of chaos and in the midst of circumstances we would never choose for ourselves. He wants us to say, don't fear. It's okay. It will be okay because I'm here. Believe in me. Let's keep reading verse number 51. What happens? It says, when he comes into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. They ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she should be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Okay, let's go back just a moment. What did Jesus say to this father when he heard his daughter was dead? Do not fear, only believe. Okay, does it sound like he really believed? Because he was astonished when this happened. See, Jesus, again, wasn't commanding them, don't fear. He was giving them a reason not to fear. Believe in me. Jesus didn't respond to this man's perfect faith because he didn't have perfect faith. In fact, none of us have perfect faith. But Jesus responds to mustard-sized seed faith that is placed in him. He always responds to our little faith. And so how do I want to minister to you emotionally during this time? It's so simple. I want to tell you, believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And let me tell you why. Believe in Jesus because he brings peace to fearful occasions. Could you imagine how scared this woman was? Okay, when you go back and read it on your own, notice she comes up from behind. She doesn't meet Jesus as he's walking. She comes from behind. She barely gets the hem of his garment. She doesn't admit it's her when it's found out that someone was healed. She was scared. And why was she scared? She was scared because she was unclean. And Jesus was walking next to this man who was the ruler of the synagogue where only clean people can go. And she approaches him and she's scared. And so how does Jesus respond to her fear? He doesn't. He doesn't respond to her fear. He responds to the faith that she has. And in her faith, he offers her a relationship that drives out fear. Believe in me. How scared do you think Jairus was when Jesus stopped? Like, my daughter's sick, let's keep going. And then he gets the news his daughter died. How scared do you think he was? But Jesus didn't respond to his fear. He just says, believe in me. You're scared today. Fearful, concerned, worried, frightened, alone. Jesus is probably not going to give you an explanation or an apology for any of that. What he will do is give you a relationship with him that says you can believe in who I am and in what I said I will do. Believe in me. Believe in Jesus because he brings peace to fearful situations. Also believe in Jesus because he brings healing to hopeless situations. How much more hopeless does it get than death? She has no hope. They were mourning her death, and when Jesus said she hasn't died, she's sleeping, they ridiculed him. That's how hopeless it was. And Jesus walks in and he gives life to the dead. But not just her. Think about this other woman who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. For 12 years, every person she touched had been unclean because she was unclean. And yet when she reaches out to touch Jesus, she doesn't make Jesus unclean. Oh, when she reaches out in faith to touch Jesus, he makes her clean. How is that possible? What happened to her uncleanness? Ah, It's the same thing that happens to our uncleanness and to our sins when we reach out in faith to Jesus. And it tells us in Isaiah 53 so clearly, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus offers healing in hopeless situations because he was willing to take our punishment and our judgment upon him when he went to the cross. He was wounded so we can be healed. When it looks hopeless, we find healing because Jesus was willing to take our sins upon himself. What a Savior. And that Savior says, it'll be okay. Believe in me. Last, I say believe in Jesus because he brings restoration to broken relationships. He brings peace to fearful occasions. He brings healing to hopeless conditions. And he brings restoration to broken relationships. He heals his girl from the dead, and he takes her back to her mom and dad who had lost that relationship. He heals this woman, and for 12 years she had lived in isolation, and Jesus says, go back to the relationships you have lost. But most importantly, what Jesus does to those who reach out in him in faith is he restores the broken relationship between man and God. That's why Jesus says so clearly, I am the way. No man comes to the Father except you come through me, because Jesus is the way, because he takes our sins upon him. Jesus is in business for us to have a way to the Father so we can restore broken relationships. I just finished reading a book by Louis Giglio this week called Not Forsaken. It's all about how God is our Heavenly Father. And there are two important statements that just really stuck out to me during that book as I read it. The first was simple. He said, God is not a reflection of your earthly father, but God is a perfection of your earthly father. Some of us look at God as our earthly father and say, I want nothing to do with that, because either we had an absent father or we had an abusive father. Even those who had good fathers, God's saying, don't look at me as a reflection of him. I am the perfection. In every way your earthly father failed you, God provides and comes through. He is the perfection of our earthly father. And that really helped me in such amazing ways. But the second thing that really stuck out to me is that he said that if Jesus can break down the wall of sin between man and God and restore that relationship, what relationship can Jesus not restore? Yes, Jesus came primarily to restore the relationship between me and my Heavenly Father, but Jesus also offers restoration to relationships between my fellow man. And let me ask you, if we can put enough faith in Jesus that he can take a sinful man and make us whole with a holy, perfect, just God, how can we question that the same power cannot heal relationships among us? Jesus comes to bring restoration to broken relationships. My desire for you today, I guess I wasn't planning to put a series together about how you can feel better in the pandemic. I would like to. I'm probably not that smart. I'd love to help you think emotionally and how, you know, those of you who feel isolated might be able to find, I don't have to feel so lonely. Those of you who are worried about your future and what's going to happen financially, I wish I could give you a plan so that you don't have to worry about that. I don't have those answers. But I can point you to the one who knows everything, because he is the creator of the world. He formed you. He's the one who can still the waves in the middle of the storm. He can cast out the demons of those who are possessed. He could bring healing to not just disease, but to death. There is not a thing that God cannot do, and he offers a relationship with you to say, I will be with you, never leave you, never forsake you. You could turn to me for anything. That, my friend, is the only answer that I have. It's Jesus. He's not going to give you an explanation. He's not going to give you an answer. He's not even going to heal everything that you ask. But he will heal your greatest need, and that's sin. When he heals the sin, he offers restoration to the broken relationship between you and God the Father. And that is what you need most. And Jesus brought that healing through the cross. What a Savior. A Savior who wants you to know you can trust in him. I'll finish by saying the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. When Jesus said, come follow me, he chose not to follow Jesus. And when he left, Jesus gathered the people around him and he said, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say how hard it is for the rich. How hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Because either we trust in ourselves and build our kingdom here, or we trust in the God who says, I have a kingdom awaiting you that will last for all of eternity. He's the one who is with you right now and wants you to believe in him. If you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, I would beg you to. You have to understand that you're a sinner. You have to understand that sin is separating you has separated between you and God. But Jesus comes to make a way. He takes your sin upon him at the cross, and he says, I'll give you my righteousness so you can go to the Father. And he restores the broken relationship, and all he says is, place your trust in me, that I am who I said I am, and that I will do what I said I will do. If you'd like to do that today, man, I'd love to be a part of that. You can message me on Facebook. You can call me. You can call the church office. I would be honored to talk with you about how you can know Jesus is with you today. And he brings peace in the midst of fearful situations. He brings healing to hopeless conditions. And Jesus brings restoration to broken relationships. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we have no hope other than to rest in you. You are our hope. You are our everything. Oh, and today, our Father, Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of those who have already placed their trust in you to remind us that we have you with us and that you are walking beside us and that in the midst of the wind and the waves, we can have peace because you are here. In the midst of bad news, we can just believe in you. In the midst of sickness and disease, we can just reach out and know that we can find what we need because we would find you. Give us that assurance. May your Holy Spirit awaken us to that truth. And Lord, for those who may be viewing from afar and do not have that personal relationship with you, oh Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would come, maybe fearful like that woman, maybe hiding where not a lot of people would see, maybe quiet and not making a big deal about it, but just to reach out in faith to say, I know that I'm a sinner and I have no hope, but I know you are hope. I have no peace, but I know you are peace. And I have sin, but I know you will take it from me. And so I reach out to you in Jesus in faith. Lord, I pray that many people would do that today. God, thank you for the reassurance that we have because of who you are in our lives. We love you. Thank you so much for loving us first. May we trust you and believe in you to this week. In your name I pray.